Well, turn over to Acts chapter 27. That's where we're going to be today, Acts 27. So we got today, and then next week will be the final sermon in this series as we've gone through the book of Acts together. So we are almost to the end. And but today we're going to focus in on Acts chapter 27. So let me ask you a question today, just to start things off and to get you to thinking. Have you ever been in a situation where you knew that you were right about some information or a situation and people didn't listen to you? I mean, that can be so aggravating, right? I mean, you know you're right. Not just you think you're right. You know you're right. I read an article this week by Psychology Today, and it was entitled, "Why Don't They Listen to Reason?" And they list three reasons of why people don't listen to reason or to listen. Number one, they just can't understand. Okay, it's they're not trying to give you a hard time. They're not trying to not listen to you. They just don't understand what you're saying. Maybe you're not saying it in the right way or whatever, but they just don't understand you. So that's one reason people don't listen. Another reason is they don't want to understand, okay? They could understand you just fine, but they don't want to because of selfish reasons, because of greedy reasons, because of personal reasons. They're not going to listen to you. They don't want to listen to you. Another reason is they shouldn't understand. They could understand you, and they would if it was worth it. But though you think they should, they shouldn't, because what you're actually saying is irrelevant to them. So that is one of three reasons of why people don't listen. They can't understand you, they don't understand you, or they shouldn't understand you. Well, our passage this morning, we're going to see Paul going through the aggravation of people not listening. And the reasons were, number one reason we just read about, they can't understand. Maybe you can make a case for that. Number two, they don't want to understand, definitely, that was the reason. And then number three, they shouldn't understand, definitely not, because they should have listened to Paul. And eventually they did, and things turned out good, but you know, at first they didn't. And so as you read through Acts chapter 27, if you just read that casually, you might only hear a story of a perilous sea journey. Now, as I was preparing for the sermon today, I was, you know, when you first read this, you're like, how in the world am I going to preach a sermon from Acts 27? Because it's just talking about this, I could say, a perilous journey at sea and all the situations that happen as a result of that. And you could say, well, you know, you could talk about storms, or we go through storms of life and God intervenes and stuff like that. And yeah, you could do that. You could probably make a case for that. But as I began to read the story and try to understand what is going on here, I begin to see a story of God's grace. And I want to bring that out. And also leading people, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But the main thing I want you to understand is that this is a picture of God's grace. And it's a beautiful picture of God's grace. So I'm going to give a little bit of background here. We're not going to read the first eight verses. We'll eventually read most of the verses here in chapter 27. But let me give you a brief background. Paul was put on a ship to be sent to Italy along with some other prisoners. And there was a centurion named Julius. He was in charge of the ship. And they began to sail along the coast, and they came to many port cities whose names I don't want to even try to pronounce. You can look at them in the first eight verses. But they eventually run into some weather, and they stop at a place called Fair Havens. I like the name of that town. I would live there. I mean, that sounds like a pretty pleasant place to live, Fair Havens. So they stop at a place called Fair Havens, and that's where we're going to begin to pick up here in verse 9. Okay, so they're on this journey, they run into some weather, and they stop here in this place, Fair Havens. The first thing I want us to understand from the story, and we're going to read about it in verses 9 through 12. Number one, Paul tries to lead, but people don't listen. Okay, Paul tries to lead, but people don't listen. Let's take a look at it, and you'll find out what I'm talking about here. It says, "By now, much time had passed, and the voyage was already dangerous. Since the fast was already over, Paul gave his advice and told them, "Men, I can see that this voyage is headed toward damage and heavy loss, not only of the cargo and of the ship, but also of our lives." But the centurion paid attention to the captain and the owner of the ship rather than to what Paul said. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided to set sail from there, hoping somehow to reach Phoenix, the harbor on Crete, open to the southwest and northwest, and to winter there. So, Paul is seeing what's going to happen. They're waiting for favorable weather there at Fair Havens. It doesn't look like it's going to happen, and so the ship's commanders had a decision to make. Should they stay put? Should they kind of winter there for a little bit in the Fair Haven? Or should they push on westward in an attempt to complete their journey to Italy before the winter? Now, I want you to understand something about this region at that time. It was a common thought of sailing that it was dangerous to sail in this area from mid-September to mid-November. They considered it downright disastrous to sail from mid-November to mid-February. And this is where they were. And Paul was making a prediction. Guys, listen, I can already tell you that this is not going to turn out very well, okay? Things are not going to go well. So he made this prediction to the centurion and the ship's captain that to continue to trip would result in disaster. Now, we have to remember something. Paul had already been through three different shipwrecks, okay? He had experience in what was going to happen here. He had probably experienced weather. He had survived three shipwrecks already. And so he was speaking through practicality. He was speaking through common sense. And in ancient times, ships, they didn't have compasses. They didn't have any fancy navigational equipment. They were reliant upon the stars, right? And so Paul understood that overcast skies and a strong northwesterly wind made sailing west all but impossible and very, very dangerous. But the people didn't listen to Paul. They didn't listen to his warning, okay? And this is sometimes the reality of when we try to lead people or when we try to at least help people. People don't listen. People don't listen. And they don't want to listen to reason. They don't want to listen to experience. They think they know better, and they're going to do it their way. Remember years ago, a lot of you probably grew up listening to the group DC Talk. They had a song years ago called The Hard Way, you know, and the song was talking about some people got to learn the hard way. You know, I guess I'm the kind of guy that has to find out for myself, you know, and that's true. Sometimes we just want to experience it. We don't want to listen to anybody, and we kind of go out on our own, and we don't listen. And so people didn't listen to Paul. People sometimes think they know better. They're going to go their own way. And really, guys, there's not a whole lot we can do about it. There's really nothing we can do about it. So that's the first thing I want you to notice here. The second thing I want you to notice, number two, Paul was right, okay? Let's take a look at it, verses 13 through 20. It says, "When the gentle south wind sprang up, they thought they had achieved their purpose. They weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. But not long afterward, a fierce wind called the Northeaster rushed down from the island. Since the ship was caught and was unable to head into the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along. After running under the shelter of a little island called Cotta, we were barely able to get control of the skiff. After hoisting it up, they used ropes and tackle and girded the ship. Then, fearing that they would run aground on the Syrtis, they lowered the drift anchor, and in this way they were driven along. Because we were being severely battered by the storm, they began to jettison the cargo the next day. On the third day, they threw their ship's gear overboard and with their own hands. For many days, neither sun nor stars appeared, and the severe storm kept raging. Finally, all hope that we would be saved was disappearing." So, what do we see here? Paul was right. He said, listen, I can already tell you things aren't going to turn out well. And they didn't. The ship and the crew encountered a severe storm. It was described as a northeaster. Now, if you look closely at the wording there, the describing the wind, Luke used the Greek word from which we get our English word typhoon. So this was a severe storm they were going through. This wasn't just any just little rain shower. They were going through a severe storm. And despite all the measures that were taken, the ship was being battered severely. Crew members actually began to jettison the cargo, which was grain, to make the ship lighter. And when that didn't help, they eventually threw over the ship's tackle. Okay, that was probably like the non-essential gear, extra sails, equipment, supports to use to support the sails. So they began to throw all this non-essential equipment overboard in order to be, in their mind, safer. And so this shows that they were desperate and that Paul was right. And again, they should have listened to Paul, but they didn't, okay? Now, let's look at point number three. The story continues, verses 21 through 26. Paul encouraged the others, even though they didn't deserve it, okay? Look at verse 21, and this is where we begin to see God's grace coming forward. Look at verse 21. So since many were going without food, Paul stood up among them and said, "You men should have followed my advice to not sail from Crete and sustain this damage and loss. Now I urge you to take courage because there will be no loss of any of your lives, but only the ship. For this night an angel of the God of the God I belong to and serve stood by me and said, 'Don't be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and look, God has graciously given you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, take courage, men, because I believe God that it will be just the way that it was told to me. However, we must run aground on a certain island.'" So, we see here Paul encouraging the others, even though they didn't deserve it. Now, it's kind of funny, because Paul did have to get his one, "I told you so," in there, right? You guys should have listened to me, okay? And we all are that way. "I told you so, you know, I told you that was going to happen." And Paul, being a human being and being a normal guy, got his one jab in there. "You guys should have listened to me." And then he proceeded to encourage the crew. So if you recall, as we've gone through this last little bit of Acts together, there's been at least three times in the last few chapters that God gave Paul a timely word of encouragement. And so this shows, guys, just how gracious God is. It shows us the grace of God. In this case, he spoke to Paul, and then Paul proceeded to encourage and soothe the minds of the people that were aboard the ship. Now listen, sometimes as leaders, or sometimes as just people who are concerned about others, we may feel that people don't deserve to be encouraged. You know, they don't deserve encouragement. They don't deserve grace, especially after they've ignored the instruction that we've given them time and time and time again. But we need to show God's grace show God's grace in the same way that it's been shown to us. Let me ask you a question. How many times have we ignored God in our lives? How many times have we ignored his word? How many times have we decided to go our own way and do our own thing instead of listening to God? Okay? How many times have we not listened to people who've put some godly instruction into our lives? We'd have said, "You know what? I don't care what you had to say. I'm going to do my own thing." We've all been there. We've all done that. We're all guilty of it. We could probably share story after story after story this morning how we've been those times in our lives. Okay? So we've all done it. We've all gone our own way. We've all ignored God. But God, in his grace, still loved us and gave us a second chance. Amen? He gave us a second chance. You know, think about the story of the prodigal son. That really applies there, right? The son realized, "You know what? I need to go back to my father, and I'm going to just try to go back as a servant." And he didn't deserve all the love that was shown to him when he came, but yet the father dropped everything and met the son on the road and killed the fattened calf and put a ring on his finger and a robe around him and held a party because he said, "This son of mine was lost and now he's been found." That's the grace of God. The son didn't deserve it. He deserved to be a servant. He deserved to be kicked to the corner. He deserved to say, "I told you so. You shouldn't have done that." But God in his grace, the father who represents God, showed grace to the son. And that's why that story, the prodigal son, applies here. Because we're no different than those on the ship. We make wrong decisions all the time. And those decisions not only affect us, but they affect everyone else around us too. And see, that's the problem sometimes when we ignore God. It doesn't just affect us. It affects everyone around us. You know, when I counsel people that are going to get married, and we talk about the roles of marriage, about men being spiritual leaders in their homes, and we talk about the decisions that we make as men, we better have our ducks in a row, because the decisions that we make for our families doesn't just affect us, it affects our kids and everyone around us, our spouses and our kids as well. That's why it's important that we be where we need to be spiritually as men, so that we can make decisions that bring glory and honor to the Lord. And so when we make wrong decisions, and we do it all the time, it affects people, not just us, but it affects everyone around us. And Paul could have had the attitude about that, you know, saying, listen, you guys, I mean, he did say it one time, but he didn't just dwell on it. He went to the grace of God. He went to the encouragement that God had given him. And so Paul could have had that attitude as well, but he chose grace instead. And as I read this story, that began to come out at me, because God wants us to give grace to other people. Giving grace to others, to other people, means that we just forgive them, that we love them unconditionally, and that we love them and forgive them in the same way that God has loved and forgiven us. I'm reminded of Colossians 3:13 that says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And so guys, just as we don't deserve God's forgiveness, yes, there are other people who don't deserve our forgiveness and deserve our love, but that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because we are still commanded to forgive. We are still commanded to show grace. And this is why leaders and just Christians in general need to still encourage others and still show God's grace even when people don't deserve it. Because the bottom line is that you and I don't deserve the grace that God has shown us through His Son, Jesus Christ. We don't deserve it. We deserve just the opposite. We deserve to be eternally separate from God. We deserve to die on the cross for our own sin. But God in His love and His grace allowed His Son to take our place. That is grace. That's us getting something that we don't deserve. Meaning love and forgiveness. And so in the same way that God has shown us grace, is we have to show others grace. And Paul encouraged others, even though they didn't deserve it. Let's continue with the story. The next thing I want us to understand is that, so Paul tried to lead, people didn't listen. Then he encouraged them in the grace of the Lord. And then number four, he began leading again. Okay? Warren Wiersbe once said these words. He said, a crisis does not make a person. A crisis shows what a person is made of, and it tends to bring true leadership to the fore. And this is exactly what Paul did. He didn't leave those aboard the ship to fend for themselves and continue in the chaos. That would have been very easy to do. Well, you guys made your bed, now sleep in it. You guys made your decision, now live with the consequences. But he didn't. He led again. He once again led the people. And fearing that the ship may run aground, some of the sailors tried to escape the ship, and they tried to save their own skins on a skiff. But notice what happens here in verse 31. Let's pick up there in verse 31. Read down to 38. Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut the ropes holding the skiff and let it drop away. When it was about daylight, Paul urged them to all take food, saying, today is the 14th day that you have been waiting and going without food, having eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take some food, for this has to do with your survival, since none of you will lose a hair from your head. After he said these things and had taken some bread, he gave thanks to God in the presence of all of them, and when he broke it, he began to eat. They all became encouraged and took food for themselves. In all, there were 276 of us on the ship. And when they had eaten enough, they began to lighten the ship by throwing the grain overboard into the sea. So with a voice of an experienced leader, because Paul knew the difficult task that was coming, Paul encouraged everyone to get their strength back by eating. He began to lead. Guys, listen, here's what we need to do. First, you're going to eat. You're going to get strong. You're going to get your strength back. They'd barely eaten anything for 2 weeks due to all the chaos that they'd been through. And then Paul assured everyone once again, listen, guys, God's in control. He's told me he's going to get us through this. It's going to take some work and it's going to be difficult, but he's going to get us through this. And most likely, the majority of the 276 people aboard the ship, the crew members, the guards, the soldiers, the prisoners, probably most of them were not believers. And you can better bet, you can believe that Paul probably used this as an opportunity to share the gospel. And what a wonderful opportunity it was. And guys, you know, listen, sometimes we don't feel like leading, or sometimes we don't feel like continuing to help people. But we got to be like Paul. Let's do what we've been called to do. Let's lead and love people through the storms of life and point them to God's saving grace. And so Paul leads once again. And then finally, verses 39 through 44, Paul's leadership saves everybody. Look what it says here at the end of the story, verse 39. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land but sighted a bay with a beach. They planned to run ship ashore if they could, and after casting off the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time loosening the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and headed for the beach. But they struck a sandbar and ran the ship aground. The bow jammed fast and remained immovable while the stern began to break up by the pounding of the waves. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners so that no one could swim away and escape. But the centurion kept them from carrying out their plan because he wanted to save Paul. So he ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest of us were to follow some on planks and some on debris from the ship. In this way, everyone safely reached the shore. Everyone. So this centurion, Julius, that we learned about at the very beginning of the chapter, he was so impressed with Paul and so impressed with his leadership to keep the soldiers, that he wanted to keep the soldiers from carrying out their plan to kill the prisoners, of which Paul was one. He was a prisoner. Their thought was, let's throw these prisoners overboard because they're of no value, and let's save ourselves and get to the shore. He had full authority to go against the plan of the people to do that. And so he listened, we're not going to do that. We're going to listen to Paul. So what happened? Some swam and some floated ashore on pieces of the collapsing ship. And the evacuation plan worked because the Bible says that everyone reached land in safety. That means no prisoners are recorded as having escaped and nobody died. The sequence of events saved Paul for later ministry in Rome and was fulfilled his prophetic message that everyone on the ship would be saved. And because of Paul's leadership, God saved everybody on the ship. Again, God's grace is all over Acts chapter 27. When I first read it, I didn't see that. I just saw the story, the maps of where they were, and I looked at some of that on the computer and saw the pattern, the path that they took, and all these places, the towns that I couldn't pronounce, and the storm, and I could envision that. I'm reading this, and it's like, this is a really neat story. This has got a lot of action in it. But I missed where really God's grace came out. And that's exactly what is all over Acts chapter 27. God's grace. Guys, when we remember how gracious God has been to us. Listen, when we remember how gracious God has been to us, it's a lot easier to give grace to others. And there's not one of us in here today that couldn't honestly say, God has been gracious to me, because he's been gracious to all of us. When we remember the grace of God in our lives, it's a lot easier to give grace to other people. You know, a lot of times we, when we read Ephesians chapter 2, when we only focus on verses 7 and 8, verse 9. But listen to from verse 6 through verse 9. And that opens up a whole new idea to us. I'm going to read this to you, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. Together with Christ, Jesus, he also raised us up and seated us in the heavens so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. Clearly, you and I don't earn God's grace. There's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves that makes us good enough to earn God's grace. It's a gift from God. And his grace is shown through his kindness in sending Jesus. That's how God's grace is shown to us, through the sending of Jesus Christ. And so showing grace to someone, guys, here's the point. We're almost done. I want you to hang with me. So showing grace to someone is showing them kindness that they haven't earned, but that it's a gift from you to them. So guys, we are called in the same way to give grace kindly and freely. So I'm going to ask you a question this morning, thinking about how God has displayed his grace in your life. Who does God want you to extend grace to this week? Who does God want you to extend grace to this week? I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying they don't deserve it. Or I'm not saying they do deserve it. They probably don't deserve it. But in the same way that God showed you grace and me grace, we have to show grace to others. Listen, I get it. One of my biggest aggravations, if you want to know a little bit more about me, one of my biggest aggravations in life, and my wife can tell you this, is when other people's decisions affect me. When other people's irresponsibility in life affects me and my family, that makes me furious. And I have to constantly deal with that in my mind. Because I think, well, I've chosen to do the right thing. Other people didn't. And now their nonsense is affecting me. Okay? And that frustrates me. And listen, I'm not talking about pandemic stuff. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm just talking about, this is something I've dealt with for years and years and years in my life. And that frustrates me. And then I think, you know, Kobe, you're no different than the people that you're angry at. Because how many times has God shown you grace and loved you in spite of being a knucklehead? And so you have to love people too. And that turns it around for me. And I don't get it right all the time. I don't. It seems like the older I get, the harder it is. I don't know why that is. When we get older, we get more crabby, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is, okay? But I'm just saying it takes work. But I have to extend grace to people because God extended grace to me. For by grace, I've been saved through faith. Not of my own works, not of my own deeds, not of anything that I've done, but by God's grace. So there's no reason in life that I could ever boast about anything that I've done because I didn't do anything. It's God that did it through me. And so that same grace that God has bestowed upon me, I have to show to other people. So who does God want you to show grace to this week? Who does God want you to love even though they don't deserve it? Keep in mind this story. Paul, he encouraged those people and they didn't deserve it. They deserved to live with the ramifications of their decision. And yeah, he got his one little thing in there. You guys should have listened to me. But that was it. What was the next thing he did? He encouraged them. Guys, take courage. We're going to get through this. Yeah, you didn't listen to me, but we're going to get through this. And they did. Because Paul gave them grace. He showed them grace. He led them again, and everyone was saved. Father, we thank you today for this story. We thank you for the grace that has been made evident. The grace that was shown, your grace that was shown through this story. And I pray, Father, that that we could be like Paul. That we could encourage people who don't deserve it. That we could love people who don't deserve it. That we could help people who don't deserve it. Because, Father, you've done that to us, or for us. So, Father, I just ask you right now just to have your way in our lives. Father, do a work among us right now. Whatever that is, whatever you need to do, Lord, we are listening, and we ask you to change us. Lord, we love you and we praise you, and we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus, and we pray together. Amen.